What's up, fam? Thank you guys for listening. Before we jump into this juicy episode of the Shop Show Breakdown, UFC 287, one of the best cards of all time. Atlanta, I'm coming. This thick, dirty bird is in Atlanta this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. La Jolla Comedy Store, June 2nd through the 4th. And I'm jumping all over, mates. I'm jumping over the pond. It starts with Belfast, June 15th. One show only. This is a theater run. So one show in every city over there in Europe, in UK, in Dublin. So it's Belfast, June 15th. Then it's Glasgow, June 17th. Manchester, June 18th. London, June 22nd. Cardiff, June 23rd. Dublin, June 25th. So get your tickets at thickboy.com. See you soon. It's NBA playoff time. My Nuggets going to do the damn thing. That means big hoops action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Get in on the excitement of every game with a touch of a button. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, everyone can score a no-sweat game, same-game parlay every day during the NBA playoffs. Open the DraftKings Sports app, opt in and place a same game parlay on any NBA game. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. My Nuggets are doing it. Listen, you take the Phoenix Suns over the Clippers. I don't know, man. I got a lot of questions about the Suns, but I know you can bet on my Nugs. And you know the Milwaukee Bucks are always a safe bet. So who is Boston this year? But I'm going with Milwaukee Nugs in the finals. Get you some. Download the app now. Sign up with the code SHABSHOW, S-C-H-A-U-B, SHOW. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code SHABSHOW. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas City, 21 plus in most eligible states, must, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. If you're still listening, DraftKings, promo code SHOBSHOW.
Ride through the city like Brennan Shaw. I'm on a mission to get it all. Ride through the city like Brennan Shaw. If you ain't thick, please don't get involved.
And now, Brandon Thick Boy Shaw.
What's up, fam? Monday morning, April 10th. Welcome to the show. How was your Easter? Did your kids eat that chocolate rabbit butt first or ears first? Says a lot about your child. Mine ate ass first. What can you do? I don't know what that says about him, but it's going to pay off down the road eating that chocolate bunny booty first. So happy belated Easter day. Happy, I almost said Thanksgiving. Happy Easter. We had quite the event. We had quite the event go down Saturday night. UFC 287 was everything we hoped for, wasn't it? It was fantastic. Depending how you bet, or depending who you favor in certain matchups, your heart was either broken or you were just so freaking happy like the rest of us. It was just an overall great card from top to bottom. They do have a good card this Saturday. It's a fight night. I think it's at 5 p.m. Pacific. You have Max Holloway and Arnold Allen, which is a great fight. Edson Barboza and our boy Billy Cornantillo fighting. You have Dustin Jacoby, Pedro Munoz, Clay Guida, then a fucking throwback Ed Herman's on that. Brandon Roy Valls on the prelims. How dare you? So, yeah, UFC is a booming. UFC is a cooking. But going back to the main dish, UFC 287, let's jump right on in, kids. Man, what so many storylines on this. We'll get into the main card right away here. I see a lot of concerned fans with the Michelle Waterson-Luana decision there. A lot of people think Michelle was robbed. You know, I'm a Michelle fan, so I agree with you guys. What I tell you about Joe Pfeiffer? What I tell you about him on the fan question you guys were asking about it? And I said, if he were to handle Gerald Mershart, who's kind of always like lingering around the top 15, he wins that. He should fight the winner of Kelvin Gastelum, Chris Curtis. I think it should be Joe Pfeiffer versus Kelvin Gastelum next. Pfeiffer's the real deal Holyfield there out of Pennsylvania. He is a savage, training with Sean Brady. That kid's ready for the big show. As you can tell, he absolutely mollywopped Gerald Mershart, which is not an easy thing to do. But with the main card, let's kick it off. Christian Rodriguez, Raul Rosa Jr. What did I tell you on Monday? If you listen to the show and if you listen to the Fight Campaign, which is available right now if you want to see the whole Fight Campaign, Chito Vera crushed it. It was so much fun. Just a good time. Best show that I do. But if you listen, even before this fight happened, I was breaking down for Sam, Chito, and Callan that this isn't a gimme fight for Rosa Jr. This is a very tough fight. Christian Rodriguez, even on the local circuit, was known as like the next guy in his gym. He was like, hey, this kid has world champion written all over him. Even on his contender series fight, he mollywopped the dude, but he missed weight, so they didn't give him the green light. But not a great matchup. I told you guys this was going to be a tough test. Now, I still did pick Rosa Jr. to pass the test. You know, and you don't want to beat up a kid, especially at 18. And it's not Rosa Jr.'s fault, you know, because at 18, you know, the world is your oyster and you feel as if you're untouchable. But that's why you have older, more mature adults around you that can try to kind of control those emotions and certain things that you say or feelings, because Rosa Jr. should feel that way at 18. That's exactly how you should feel, being undefeated. But after seeing his skill set, especially in the striking department, I think it'd be tough for anyone to defend him being the UFC right now at 18. I don't think he landed. Can you bring up the numbers? I don't think he landed anything substantial on the feet. I also don't think he really threw anything on the feet. The first round, he out-grappled the guy. His wrestling, his position was of professional level. But outside that, the kid has a ton of work to do. Now, this is a young man, and rightfully so, he should be saying this. When I was a young fighter coming up, after my second major professional fight, I called out Frank Mir and Josh Barnett. I was crazy. You need somebody to tell you, hey, dude, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So if you look at it, so round one, he threw zero. Round two, he threw zero. And round three, he landed two punches. That's a problem. That's a problem, because at this level, and especially, don't get me wrong, his grappling is solid. It's good. It's not Arnold Allen good. It's not, you know, Khabib good, or, you know, a lot of these other Dagestanians, Bo Nickel, these real outliers that are absolutely going to tie you in knots from the moment the bell rings. So I'm just on the end of, don't get the experience in the UFC. Get it outside the octagon, because once you're in the UFC, there's not a lot of easy matchups. Like, I think maybe the UFC thought this kid was ready for the big show. And to the UFC's defense, listen, you got to take some shots, you know, shoot or shoot. And the UFC shot before, and sometimes they knock it out of the park. And then sometimes, you know, unfortunately, it's at the consequences of a kid's career. It doesn't go well. You look at Sage Northcutt, probably pushed him a little too soon, right? He got dealt with. Paige VanZant was very, very tough. You know, there's a Darren Till, even though he didn't come up like these guys, but it was still a little too much too soon, being the main event against Woodley in London. And then after that, you know, you don't want to get the experience in the UFC. Darren Till might be a bad one because he did have a lot of experience outside when he got there. I'm just saying, the point is, if you push someone too fast, it has dire consequences, especially when they're 18 is the point here. When you're 18, to lose like this and realize that you're not untouchable kind of changes a fighter's path. So for Rosa Jr., it's okay to lose in MMA. He shouldn't hang his head. The issue is at 18, this early in your career, was he 7-1, 8-1 now? So you don't have a ton of fights. You don't have a ton of big moments in your career. there's a reason why boxers are 30-0, 25-0, 45-0 by the time they really face any adversity. Because if you look at like a guy like Mike Tyson, or there's other examples where they need to get to a certain level where they actually think they're God's gift to fighting. And they go in there with that mindset thinking they can pull anything off. But that's done through actual fighting. It's not done through words or your coaches telling you that or your training partners telling you that. You actually got to get it done inside that octagon or inside that ring through years of experience. And what Rosa Jr. was saying, oh, you know, in under a year, I'm going to be the next world champion. I don't have a problem with anybody saying that. And I would imagine that anybody at the 135-pound weight class is saying the same thing, maybe not out loud, but everyone feels that way. Just to let you guys know, every single person you saw fight on Saturday night thinks they're going to be world champion. Nobody gets to the UFC and goes, I just want to be a 500 guy. I just want to win three, maybe lose one. It should be a perennial top 10 guy. Nobody thinks like that. Every single person's goal is to be a world champion. Rosa Jr. just said it very loud and at 18. So I was like, oh, so, you know, you got to pump the brakes, but he's saying the right things, the right mentality. The problem is you put so much pressure on yourself when you do that. The other problem is, as his striking is nowhere near anybody at the 135 weight class, he's nowhere near their level. So let's say he did get by Christian Rodriguez. Let's say he out grappled him for three rounds and only threw two punches. Well, how many fights can the UFC give him where he's not going to, where he can just get by on that grappling? Because again, he's not, very clear, he's not a guy, you know, that like a Brian Ortega, even though Brian has great striking, but that goes to the ground, you're in trouble. Arnold Allen, his wrestling is, you know, second to none. There's a lot of guys that have that wrestling pedigree where they can lean on that. And, you know, what we saw out of Rosa Jr., he's just not one of those guys. And eventually you're going to run into a guy who can defend the takedown and then be forced to win a fight on the feet. And that's mixed martial arts. And he's so far from there, what we saw on Saturday. Now, maybe he just had one of the worst nights ever. I get that. But even when you have bad nights, like if you go and watch the Fight Companion, which is available right now, Chito Vera, I said, hey, when you fought Corey Sandhagen, that was not the Chito that I know. He goes, dude, I don't want to say anything. You're dead on. You're dead right. I was not in the right mind space, just didn't feel like doing it. But there's a difference between not feeling like doing it and still going out there and having technique and performing and looking like a top five caliber fighter. And there's a huge difference between, my body didn't feel ready, but I still went out there. But when the technique's not there, that's not a mental thing. That's an experience thing. That's a fundamental thing. And that's when I get worried. That's when I see. So the biggest takeaway for Rosa Jr., it's like, you're not even remotely close to competing at this level. You're just not. Now, I'm not saying you can't be a world champion in the UFC. You have all the tools. You have the mindset. Hopefully you have the camp. It doesn't sound like he does, but eventually you'll get there. But you can definitely still be champion. This could be the best thing to happen to you because we got to pump the brakes. Because as far as your striking goes, it is so far off from being at a UFC level, even in the middle tier guys, even the guys ranked 30 and below, you're not even remotely close to touching them at a striking. Technical wise, you're just not there. Let's take a little break, you little crazy hippos. Listen, I only recommend products that I actually use. This one, I reached out to them because I swear by it. We're talking about Happy Hippo Kratom. This stuff helps me tackle anything that I'm doing, podcasts, stand-up, just life in general. Kratom is fantastic. It's not the Wild West anymore because there's companies like Happy Hippo where it's reliable, it's trustworthy, it's the best of the best. And whether you're looking for gummies, I take the shots right here. This one is the sour apple shot. This is the Kratom shot. It gives you an instant boost, get you right where you need to be. They have butterscotch, which is good, but I like the sour apple. They have gummies. They have powders. They got any way that you want to get the best Kratom on the planet. Talk about Happy Hippo. Go to happyhippo.com. Promo code is THICK23. You save 20% off the entire site. That's THICK, THICCC 23 for 20% off for life at happyhippo.com. This episode of The Shop Show is brought to you by the one, the only, the old faithful Onnit. We're talking about Onnit, baby. The best nootropic on the planet, Alpha Brain. Now, we all know about Alpha Brain. They've sold over 1 million bottles of the regular Alpha Brain. But what about Alpha Brain Black Label? That's what your boy uses. I take 4 pills. Next thing you know, I'm coming up with all sorts of cool experiments. That's right. I'm still trying to figure out how to grow Callan's hair. I'm going to get there, and Alpha Brain Black Label is going to get me there. It helps support cognitive functions, including memory, mental speed, and focus. It aids in mental processing. It's caffeine-free, helps you get to that flow state, supports your freaking memory. Remember names, places, addresses, phone numbers. Think more clearly under stress, all right? On it also offers the usual fitness equipment like kettlebells, steel club maces, sandbags, yoga mats. Also, the supplements, there's none better. If you're trying to get your thick body in shape, let Onnit help you with their MCT oils, their proteins, their warrior bars. We got it all, man. Go to onnit.com/shab, S-C-H-A-B, and you get 10% off everything I just listed. Literally everything. Alpha Brain Instant Shot, Alpha Brain Instant, where you put in 8 ounces of water, Alpha Brain Black Label, you save 10% off everything. All right, onnit.com/shab. Now let's get back to the program. But it's glad it happened early. You're only 18, dude. You're only 18. The problem is, and this is why we tell you that the UFC is a marathon, not a sprint, now it gets dicey. Because now you're in the UFC, and the UFC has to kind of shift through. The rank is at 35. Look through who on the roster can you beat now, because they've put all this hype into you. You know, and like I said, UFC, it's the brand's bigger than any fighter. So shoot or shoot, they hope you become a superstar. If you don't, on to the next guy. And a lot of times they get it right, but when they get it wrong, it goes south. It goes really south. And at a kid at 18, you just got to hope that mentally he can overcome this, learn from it, get back on the freaking, you know, elliptical and get his mind right and start to win more fights. But the glaring hole there is his striking, and you know, this was a tough matchup for him. It's too much too soon. We learned that. It just, unfortunately for him, it was on the main card on a major pay-per-view, so I'm sure he's getting a ton of shit right now. I'm not going to dogpile on this kid. He still can be world champion. It just ain't happening. He said under a year. I would say it's not happening for at least 5 to 6 years. Not even close. So far from the rest of the competition, unfortunately, and that's good for him. So Chin just brought up this article. He put, my bad, bros. There's a lot of chicks that are disappointed too, my man. I didn't have the energy to do what I know or even try. Things happen for a reason. God knows. My opponent was better tonight. Thank you, guys. Then Dana said, it happens. He's a young kid. I had 2 rounds to 1. Yep. He's got a lot of growing to do, a lot of work to do. Nobody really goes undefeated in the sport. It's very, very hard to do. Yeah, I never expected him to go undefeated. I just expected his striking to be a lot more high level, especially when you get to the UFC, than what it was. So when we say he has work to do, he has all the work to do. It's a ton of work. But I think he's up for the challenge. And again, he is young. He's only 18. It's better this came now than when you're 30. Like, if you're 30 and you're striking look like, eesh, probably just go get a different job. But at 18, and his grappling looked pretty good, we can work with some stuff there, just on the main card. Also, probably not in the UFC. He loses the next one. You should probably go get some more experience outside the UFC. And then at 18, he can always come back. It's all good. He has a fan base. He's there. But that striking is tough. Kevin Holland looked fantastic. He needed that win so bad. The disappointing part about Masvidal losing is, A, we don't get the Masvidal-Kevin Holland fight, which I would love. Even though Kevin Holland won, that would still be a huge fight for Kevin Holland, and it'd make a lot of sense for Jorge Masvidal because they had so much animosity outside the octagon on the streets, which, you know, the street soldier gets it done with Jorge. But also, Leon Edwards, you know, tweeted out, was, man, Jorge messed up the bag. So by Jorge losing, it really kind of fucks over Leon Edwards, because remember, Leon doesn't want to fight Colby. The only thing, the caveat there, we were like, oh, why wouldn't we want to do it? Why wouldn't he want to do it? Colby's the next guy in line besides Kamaru Usman, who Leon just beat, so Colby makes sense. But for Leon, there's the story of Jorge and him in London and the two-piece in a soda or whatever the hell it was. So that narrative was there for Leon. It's a much easier matchup than Colby or Bilal Muhammad or any of these other guys coming up. So I think Leon was banking on that. It's an easier payday for him. It's a big fight. Be in London. Can't do it now. That's out the window. So now I think by Jorge losing, he's forced to fight Colby Covington. Who else can he say no to? You know. So I think UFC is going to force his hand now, because I think UFC was kind of open to it, especially if Jorge won in dramatic fashion, to be like, yeah, Jorge's the guy. He's going to sell a ton of tickets, make us a lot of money. We're in the business of making money, not making the best fight. So let's do it. But Jorge lost, so that's out the window. So it kind of fucks over not only Kevin Holland, but also fucked over Leon Edwards. But yeah, Kevin Holland looked fantastic. He was at a fork in the road. Ponzinibbio, the bummer about Ponzinibbio is he said he was going to, you know, talk to the commission about overturning the fight, said he gave a thumbs up. He wasn't out. That is not true in any facet. He was definitely out. So he's lost 1, 2, 3, 4 out of his last 6. So it gets tough, man. It gets tough for that guy. But Kevin Holland needed that win. And Kevin Holland's such a character, so he's good for business. The most surprising thing, which I don't say surprising. I said it was going to be fight of the night. It ended way earlier than I anticipated. Rob Font versus Adrian Yanez. Yanez is my guy. I love Rob, but you know Adrian, I absolutely love Adrian. I like when a prospect's coming up and passing the test. I just think this was, again, it's not the UFC's fault, but you know sometimes you got to shit or get off the pot. For Adrian Yanez, it was shit or get off the pot against the number 7 guy in the bantamweight division, Rob Font. Style escape just didn't make a ton of sense for Yanez to take this fight. It's just he has some work to do. So this is different, right? So with Yanez, you can see the techniques there. The skill set is there. He has every box checked to be world champion in the future. He decided to play a dangerous game with a dangerous vet and Rob Font, who hits like a Mack truck, has big hands, lands more shots, even when he loses fights, but he's always hurting people. And Adrian Yanez does get hit. The problem is he hasn't been hit by a savvy vet like Rob Font. And once Rob smells blood in the water, he's going to finish you off. This is what happened. Adrian Yanez, he just decided to play that dangerous game. If that uppercut landed a little sooner, he could have defended himself from that right hook, which knocked him out, but he missed. It's a game of inches. He gets knocked out. All good. You tested you test the waters in the top 10. You're not ready for it. All good. If I had to bet on who's going to be a world champion between Adrian and Rosa Jr., my money's on Adrian because you can see the skill. For Rosa, there's so many questions. He has so much work to do. And Adrian's with a great camp. He's beat some great guys already. Not great, but he's definitely beat the shit out of people. He's had performance of the nights, fight of the nights. So he's must-see TV. But with Rosa Jr., there's just so much work to do there. I wouldn't co-sign him being world champion anytime soon. But Adrian, you can. Even though it's a setback, complete disaster to a matchup in the top 10. So I was off on Rosa. I was off on Yanez. And then the co-main event, Gilbert Burns, Jorge Masvidal. I told you guys also, you're crazy if you think Jorge was just going to lay down on his last fight and just let Gilbert mop the floor with him. Even though Gilbert was a plus 400 or minus 400, I thought that was a little disrespectful. It's Jorge Masvidal, man. So his takedown defense, fantastic. I didn't think he was Gilbert Burns' best showing. I thought he looked good. I just don't know what it does for Gilbert either. And I know Gilbert said, either they give me a title shot, I'm going to retire. You know, I don't know if the UFC is going to do that, you know? Colby Covington's right there. You got Belial Muhammad right there. Shavkat, you know, and Muhammad's supposed to fight. So for Gilbert, he's a little bit on the outside looking in there because they're guaranteeing Colby Covington the title shot. So it's a little dicey. Then he can't fight Kamaru Usman. They fought, right? We've seen that. A lot's going to be predicated on what happens in that welterweight division. You're going to get Leon versus Colby in London, and then you're going to get Shavkat and Muhammad, and the winners of that. It's definitely going to make it a clear passage to the title shot and who's next, stuff like that. So a lot has to happen in that division for us to get a better understanding of what's going to happen there. And then in the main event, my God, my Lord. Izzy Adesanya, what can you say, man? What can you say? We've never seen it before. We've never seen a guy at his age lose the belt with a guy who's had his number. He was 3-0 against him. But I think that's what makes Izzy an outlier is, you know, he doesn't predicate his life based off history. Every stat that you could find in the UFC would show that Izzy was going to lose this fight. Every stat. Even though odds makers had him a slight favorite, because if you watch the fights, you can say, man, if Izzy just did a few things different, he's a better mixed martial artist than Alex Pierre. Hands down. There's no debate. He's just better. He has more tools. He doesn't hit as hard. But outside that, outside hitting hard, he does everything better than Alex Pereira. He's not as big, doesn't hit as hard. He's won more rounds, even in the ring and the octagon. Izzy, if he just changes, tweaks a few things here, he should be able to pull this off. And on the questions that we posted last Thursday, the fan question said, can Izzy get it done via KO? I said, absolutely. Absolutely, because in the first fight they had in the UFC, he mollywopped him, almost had him out on his feet in the first round. So we know Izzy does have that power. He has the capabilities. We just need Alex Pereira to play that game that gives Izzy the chance to get it done. And the brilliant, brilliant camp of Izzy and his coach, who's absolutely one of the best to do it, they were smart enough to go, if we can pull Alex in and get him to get comfortable and start throwing not just one shots we can't really counter. It's tough to land a big shot. But we can get him to throw combinations against the fence, get him close quarters, so then we can exchange and land one. We can get him out of here under five rounds. That's what they did, the old rope-a-dope. And, you know, you saw the boys, me and Sam Tripoli, rocking the engaged shirt. It's so funny because Izzy has this collab with Muhammad Ali, and he pulls the fight off, doing something very similar that Muhammad Ali did, the rope-a-dope, to lure Alex Pereira in. This is how he changed from the last fight. He realized that for him to hurt Alex Pereira, he has to lure this monster in. He has to play this game with potentially, arguably, the hardest hitter ever in the middleweight division or in UFC history, outside Francis Ngannou maybe. But even Alex Pereira, Izzy's coach said, makes no sense. The guy has a gift from God how hard he hits. So you got to play this game where let's lure him in where he gets comfortable and he's throwing those combinations. And when he's throwing those combos, his hands are down and we can come over to up and land. It's insane. That was the game plan, but they pulled it off. They pulled it off. You'll never see them fight again. I know people are saying, well, Izzy's cleared out the division. There's nothing else for him. Why wouldn't they do it again? I'm telling you, mark my words, you're never seeing it again. Alex Pereira, it's too rough of a cut. The only reason he was cutting 85 is to chase that monster in Izzy Adesanya. He had the perfect game plan to beat him. He was 3-0 against him. The only reason he was killing himself to make 85 was because Izzy was there as the world champion. Now that that's over, you're going to see him. He's a 205-er. That guy is a bona fide fucking 205-er through and through, for God's sakes. Quit killing yourself. And he's going to be able to take better shots at 205. Now the guys do hit harder there, and you know he does get hit, but the benefits at 205 for Alex Pereira are limitless. The ceiling is so high for him at 205. You see the way he matches up against Jiří. He matches up great against. Jamal Hill, he matches up great against. Rakic, great. Anthony Smith, great. Johnny Walker, great. Vulcan, great. You know, so you look at all these. Dominic Reyes, yeah, you go down the list. Dustin Jacoby, Roundtree, all these guys. Now, there's a few guys where it's like, let's avoid those. Magomed at number two. Yep. That'd be a tough one. Jan, that's a tough one. I would probably favor him over Jan, got to be honest, unless Jan really shot in there and got him down early on. But, you know, at 205 is going to be a handful for anybody, especially those gentlemen I listed off before, all the strikers. Magomed and Jan are a problem for him. But outside that, there's so many matchups for him there. It just makes all the sense in the world. So let's pretend that I'm dead set right and Alex Pereira's at 205. So at middleweight, the problem is with Izzy in the top five, not only has he beat everybody in the top five, but he's beat most of them twice. There's nobody you want to see there. There's an argument for Robert Whittaker doing the trilogy, but he's 2-0 against them. Mm-hmm. Last fight wasn't even close, you know, knocked him out. So the argument there's not great. I think for Izzy, you know, the best thing, you know, he likes to, this is what makes Izzy, to me, the greatest of all time. There's argument Anderson Silva, I have Izzy over him for a variety of reasons, but one of the things that makes Izzy great, he usually fights he's a real active champion, which is unheard of, very active, fights about every 4 months, 3 times a year, he's always fighting against anybody. So for Izzy, it's going to be a little tough. Hear me out here, Izzy. I think he needs to sit out for a little bit. Have Robert Whittaker and Khamzat fight, and the winner of that, whether it's Whittaker or Khamzat, is guaranteed a title shot against Izzy. There's nothing else to do. You can't. And I know the UFC can do it because in the business of money, and Khamzat and Izzy, and the story of Khamzat, this boogeyman at 170 coming up to 85, you know, and he's a grappler and he's this, you know, monster coming up to 85. We can sell that. but just under principle, you just can't go from 170 not being active, then jump right to a new weight class at 85 and fight the greatest champion we've ever had, coming off this insane win over Alex Pereira. It just doesn't make too much sense. What makes sense is Khamzat Whitaker. You do that, you know, that big July card. You have them as the co-main event because you have, or you do it the main event because you have the co-main event would be Yair Rodriguez and Volkanovski. So you have the guaranteed winner of Khamzat versus Whitaker, the next title shot to Izzy. Because if Whitaker were to beat Khamzat, then there you go. And that's interesting too, because that's also Hamzat's toughest test in the middleweight division is Robert Whitaker. So he passes that, deserves a title shot. Dude, the build-up, the Khamzat Izzy, if you were to starch Robert Whitaker, would be insane. Vice versa to that, if Whitaker starches this boogeyman, this insane boogeyman, if he starches Khamzat and puts a halt to this hype, you tell me you don't want to see Robert Whitaker come off the huge Khamzat win, fight Izzy again. But you look at Izzy, I don't know what's really left for him. He'd do the Anderson thing. He jumps 205, even if it's not for a belt. Remember when he fought like Forrest, Bonner, and those guys? You do some of that stuff. It's the right matchup. A Yeri fight might make sense. A racket fight. Even a Jamal Hill. Depend what Alex Pereira wants to do. Izzy could even go up, and he matches up way better with Jamal Hill than he does Jan Błachowicz. So he could do that stuff. You know, there's some outliers there. You do the Anderson Silva thing where you let the division figure itself out with Robert Whitaker and Khamzat. Until that gets done, you want to stay active. You go to 205. But it has to be perfect matchups. We're not fighting Magomed. We're not fighting Jan again, you know. And then Jan goes, oh, I'll cut to 85. Boy, with that head, you ain't cutting to 85. You ain't cutting to 85, son. That's not happening. So for Izzy, you know, he needs to be chill, be patient. If he wants to compete, go to 205 with the right matchups. Jamal Hill, Yeri, Rakic, Anthony Smith, Krylov, Johnny Walker, Ozdemir, all the same guys are listed off for Alex Pereira. You can play that game if you want, stay active, get those wins, then jump back over once Whitaker and Khamzat fight. That's what I'd do. But man, what a story. What a story. Yeah. And besides Conor McGregor, who's a complete outlier in any fucking sport, there's not a bigger star in the UFC than Izzy. There's just not. There's not. He's the biggest star, and this cemented him as he's the face of the UFC. He's the face of the UFC. All the naysayers, all the people talking shit to him, everyone thought Alex had his number. I don't have a problem with the celebration either. I thought it was called for. Him pointing at the sun was a little dicey, but if you remember, he pointed at the sun because the sun did that when Alex Pereira knocked him out in kickboxing.
This is the initial.
That's how, and he goes, I'm petty, man. He remembered that.
Yep.
Nuts. What a story. Only in mixed martial arts do you get this shit.
That was so dope, dude.
So
dope. Even though it's a kid, kid has to learn.
It was called for. Hey, yeah. You know, that's probably the lowest point of Izzy's life. So
that's the shitty part, though. The kid's crying.
But that's the game.
Yeah, that is the game.
The kid's young, though, man. That's a bummer. I hate to see that.
It sucks, but the kid should learn to not do that kind of stuff, you know?
Dude, and that was years ago. Yeah. That was, what, 7 years ago?
It was a long time ago.
Fantastic celebration. The three arrows, all that shit. I loved it all. He goes, I'm petty, man.
Yeah.
His son's like, this guy sucks.
Yeah, their dad got knocked out cold.
Yeah. He's all right, though. Thank God. Mm-hmm. What else you got, Jen?
Let's go to... Oh, this is after the fight as well. This is really cool to watch. Israel and Alex Pereira.
Everyone's all clapping. Yes.
I heard
that's king.
I heard that Alex wanted to be Israel's friend, but then he realized that, you know, that's not happening. It's, you know, after the three wins.
Yeah.
But he actually liked them. He wanted to be friends with them.
So yeah, Alex seems like a good dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That poor guy.
Scary, but good
dude.
Look
at his face right there.
I know.
You can just tell his heart's broken, man.
That's true. But if you had three wins over someone and they have one win over you, wouldn't you still feel like, kind of badass.
Hell yeah. I'd be like, all right, dude. Yeah, all right. Even if they don't fight skin, I'm still 3-1.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's all good. You got me this time. Boy, did he get him, though.
And this was from Helen Yee. I guess this is Israel talking about a potential opponent, but he didn't give a name.
Words wisely. You want to try and be a big boy. You want to bop bop. I want you with the big boys. I'm going to treat your words wisely, but I don't want to give him no clout. But if he does work and I pray to God he keeps winning, I will gladly drag his carcass across South Africa. Wallahi.
Yeah,
but he's gonna do
this person in the comments because he's either talking about Sean Strickland or Hamza.
Sean Strickland.
No, he's not. No, dude. Hey, man. He's talking about Hamzat. It's Hamzat, dude. That's what he's talking about. Because you know, with the fan base there too. Don't get me wrong. Hamzat's huge outside of America. America, he's getting bigger for sure. But there's a lot of hype on him. But there's just something, you just can't go from not being that active at 170, jumping up, fighting one of the greatest to ever do it, who's coming off the biggest one of his career. I know the UFC's crazy and they do whatever makes money. There has to be some sort of fucking moral standard here. We can't do that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we can't do that.
Yeah. It doesn't even make sense. I mean,
no.
When he's saying this stuff.
Whitaker makes sense.
Yeah. Well, Whitaker? Oh, no, I'm saying like who he's talking about. It doesn't make sense. It'll be Strickland. Like,
no, it's definitely not Strickland. That's a stupid take. That's a horrible take.
This one I thought was very interesting. So this is, I'll just play it for you first. Apparently, this is John Jones, and you'll figure this out.
That KO against Alex was something else. I've got to hand it to you. You've got some serious skills in the octagon. But don't think for a second that I forgot that you ducked me. When you grow a pair of balls, come see me at heavyweight, kid. You said you would chase me up here. Well, I'm here now.
Is this AI?
The champion. Yeah.
This is AI.
Congrats to my Nigerian.
But it sounds, I mean, it's going to get so much better later. But
it's going to get better, pretty, but right, I'm like, that's a little suspect.
It is a little suspect. Yeah,
congrats
for sure.
To my Nigerian brother. You said that you would meet me at heavyweight. Well, now I'm at heavyweight.
Yeah, but that was pretty interesting. This is Gilbert Burns. I know. He already won all that stuff, but he was very adamant about accusing Jorge Masvidal of using lotions because he was so slippery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll just play this real quick.
Some guys, when they're cutting weight, they put oil into the water.
Yeah.
So it seeps into the skin.
I know those old tricks that those guys do. They, you know what they do? They wake up on Sunday and they take the first shower and they pass a lot of lotion on their body.
Yeah.
And the lotion goes like the skin absorbs.
Seeps
lotion
into the skin. The skin absorbs it, and you're super slippery.
After 3 hours, you do it again. And then after you do it again, then after you do it again. And your body absorbs. Whenever you start sweating a lot, for sure he did that trick. 100% he did.
It's funny. Gilbert's a good guy, too. Yeah. Maybe he did. Doesn't really matter.
I know, because he
won. Because that he won, and he didn't really, the submission wasn't there, really, in retrospect. But he beat him, you know?
Yeah. And this is Dana going off on reporters.
Any other stupid questions? Hilarious.
Please, I don't know if we can. Okay, I'll play it.
With WWE, I'd rather not talk about that right now.
Talking about Endeavor purchasing WWE.
It's exciting for the company and everything else, but this is about these guys right now. Not that.
I have one more question for Jorge. Jorge, yesterday at the home.
Jorge. Heavy on the whore.
I was curious, what was that about?
Absolutely nothing. You know, there's nothing to talk about there. It's just some dick riding, cloud chasing bitch, you know, so ain't nothing to talk about.
Nah, that's not what you were saying yesterday, bro. Watch your fucking mouth.
Kevin, I'm curious, what is the issue there?
I called him baby girl and he got mad.
Wait, what's the question? Guys, come on, these two aren't even fighting. Knock it off.
All right, okay.
Do you have a question about the fight, who these guys are fighting?
Or I'm a Dane on this.
Shit in here? What's your question?
Yeah. Cool.
Well, anyways, they kept going back to it, and then I think John Morgan asked the question about it again. And then Dan's like, "Any more?" The Schmo asked the question.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dan's like, "Any more stupid questions?" And then this another thing that Dana did.
I will fucking attack you. Did you see? I don't know if it's Photoshop. You see the picture of Dana in the hot tub?
No.
Jacked, Shredville population Dana. There it is.
Oh my god! No fucking.
Look at that. Dude.
It looks weird, too, in a way.
Will slap the shit out of you. Yeah. Let me see the video.
What the hell was that? Here we go.
The reason I don't want you guys talking about other fights is, guys, we're fucking 2 days before a fight. He's not fighting Jorge Masvidal.
I'm with Dana.
Whatever they got into, whatever. First of all, it creates shit backstage and at the hotels, right? When you guys ask them questions like that and they say something, we still got 2 days until the fight and these guys run into each other backstage and everywhere else. And it's so disrespectful to their opponent. There's an opponent sitting up there that they're going to fight. And I just hate that shit. I get it. You want your fucking clicks or whatever it is you guys want to get, your little fucking moment that you can post. But I will fucking attack you if you do that. You know what I mean? It just causes a lot of bullshit.
He's saying attack you verbally. Like, obviously, MMA junkie's doing it now. I will fucking attack you.
You got it.
I'll post it, you know. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I'm with Dana on this.
You had your opinion on this, the whole Drake betting on
it's all, yeah, it's all promotion. It's promotion, just a whole
so he did win 2.7 million. Apparently for this one, that he bet less money. Like before he bet more, someone said like $1 million less. Well, this time.
I'm sure people are like, hey, it's a little too obvious. You're throwing $7 million on the undercard fight. Okay. It's getting weird. Like, don't make it less obvious. Bet like realistic money you'd actually bet. Don't bet $7 billion on Paige VanZant and bare knuckle.
Yeah,
that's all I'm doing there.
That's great, and they're both with that company too, Israel and Drake.
Yeah, there you obviously. Go. No, I know a guy with psoriasis who put $1,000 on Izzy to win via knockout and won $10,000.
You know a guy?
I know a guy with psoriasis.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Good work, man. So this is the fight purses that are, made public. These are fight purses from Game Bird Boxing 4, and I'll just go to the main ones here.
Jimmy Stevens, $200K. Jose Aldo, $425,000. Jock Gray, $200,000. Vitor Belfort, $400K. No win bonus. Roy Jones, $700,000. Anthony Pettis, $650,000. No win bonus.
Big That's a lot money. Of money, right?
Yeah.
It's boxing. Yeah.
Especially being an early promotion, you get scared when you see those big numbers. Like, we've seen how this goes with Affliction. But, you know, Jorge got a smart team behind him, too. So we'll see what's going on there. But good for them. I like when fighters get paid.
Yeah. And this is the president of BKFC talking about Francis Ngannou. You know, they obviously wanted him. But he said that Francis is asking for unrealistic money. So they passed on it.
Yeah, the longer this goes on, me and Cheeto alluded to it on the fight campaign available right now on Thick Boy YouTube. But the longer that there's no news on Francis, the worse it is for him. The hype's slowly coming down. Now, I think there is a world where, you know, and we said Dana would never let him back, but Dana says a lot of things. Maybe he would, but I just don't know where Francis is going to go because it made all the sense for him to leave. He said it was fighter rights, stuff like that. I don't know if it's that, but he, you know, I think the reason he left is for the fuck you payday against the Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. And we haven't heard much on that at all, especially from Deontay Wilder, who's ranked number one now, by the way, in WBC, I think he's number one. So Deontay's going to make more money if he fights a real boxing fight than with Francis. So, you know, you just have to hope for Francis. Him leaving, he does get one of those big boxing fights, but we haven't heard anything on it at all. So it's a little scary if you're Francis. Then outside that, let's say in this weird fight world that we live in, the Real Housewives of the UFC, this dramatic show that we're part of, let's say that Francis doesn't get that boxing fight and he has to sign with the MMA promotion. Where are you going to go, dude? Where are you going to go that people give a fuck?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go?
I know.
Where are you going to go that you'd make more money fighting whoever their champion is than you'd fight a John Jones? You know, so it gets dicey for him. The longer it goes on, we have to pray if you're a Francis fan that he does get that boxing fight because that would make it valid for him leaving the UFC. If that doesn't happen, he just signs another promotion, disaster. Disaster. Absolute disaster.
Yeah. I know Ray Sefa of the PFL, he said that they're in good talks right now, but good talks doesn't mean like
no
something's gonna happen.
The longer we don't hear anything, the worse it is for Francis. Because then, out of sight, out of mind. In this fight game.
Yeah, it's true.
When you're out of the UFC, besides this, have we every Monday we read current shit on the fight world.
Yeah.
Have you? When was the last time we did something on Francis?
Other than the stuff that we talked about before, yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right, some bout announcements. Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena 3.
This one doesn't make a ton of sense to me either. I don't know anybody chomping at the bit to see this trilogy.
It's a cool fight.
You know, the first fight, Juliana Pena did great. It is a good fight. You know, the second fight, it's pretty clear. Like, there's times where a fighter doesn't show up, overlooks the opponent, that opponent gets one over, I'm all good. Then when they do the rematch and that person who's the favorite beats the brakes off of them like Amanda Nunes did, then it's, all right, that was a one-time thing. Mm. No one's really like, man, I'd love to see a third time. I don't know. Anybody's like, I got to see a third time. I'm a huge fan of Pena. I'm glad she's getting the rematch, but it doesn't make a ton of sense, but all right.
And a pay-per-view headliner too.
Tough.
Yeah.
Tough sell. Especially after that last fight. Tough, tough sell. And that's for Canada. The Rogers Center in Vancouver, that's a big boy.
Mm.
Big boy event. Canada loves them some fisticuffs.
Let's see what they have so far. So, obviously them as headliner. Stephen Thompson, Michelle Pitt, that's a good one.
Nothing else really, though. Boy, for UFC in Canada too. Come on, man, you better get that thing tasty. They
yeah.
will.
Yeah, they
that's in
will.
June.
I think it's June. Yeah,
yeah. They'll build that up.
All right, that's June 10th. This is not loading, but Bo Nickel is going to fight Trajan Gore, and here is Trajan Gore's record. It's like 4-2. He was on The Ultimate Fighter, I think.
Oh, yeah, I remember him, Mr. Mm-hmm. Vicious. He's 4-2. He's about to get his leg snapped off. Yeah,
all right.
Feeding the monster, Bo Nickel.
And then we'll go
to... Bo's a tough one, because they're going to do this. He's going to mollywop this dude, let's be real. Then maybe do... Then you'll give him like a top 15, right outside top 15. That's off to the races.
Yeah.
It's just like this. You can feel the pressure.
Yeah.
And this, unfortunately, Mr. Vicious is just part of the shrap metal there. He's just going to get eaten, mauled alive. His coach is like, oh, God damn it. No, we'll figure it out, man. You can always land one. That's his coach. Dude, you land one, this thing's over.
All right, so a quick one. Let's go to this. Corey Anderson versus Phil Davis.
Ooh, that's tasty.
Yeah. All righty. And two more. But no, let's skip this one. But Misha Tate, she's going to come back against Myra Buena Silva, and I'll show you their records right now. So this is Misha's record.
Yeah.
When she came back after how many years? A bunch of years. She won, and then she lost
two. She won one, then she's lost last two.
Yeah.
That Vieira fight was tough.
That
screws on a three-fight win streak.
Yeah.
But for her, they're trying to build this girl up, three-fight win streak. Misha Tate's a massive name.
Yep.
And this girl's a submission artist. Misha's a submission artist. I like it.
Cool. And since we're on Misha, she just posted this on Easter.
She looks great.
Yep, she looks awesome. And
The original dime. You think about it. Like she was fighting before Ronda.
Yeah.
Original dime.
Yep. And this is, hold on. The headline here, I mean the subject says Darren Till anticipates boxing next. I would just run over Logan Paul and Tommy Fury.
That's true.
So yeah. Well, he's basically saying that if he were to go to another promotion, so PFL actually hit him up. One hit him up. Honestly,
I thought he was taking a break from MMA to get better.
Yeah, so they hit him up, but he's like, if I did something like that, it would be disrespectful to the UFC. But if I did boxing, it would be cool. He said he would actually do a boxing match, though, if the money was right.
So let's say
I don't get it either.
Let's say they offered him too much. So what happened to? I guess it depends on the commission. He's leaving the UFC so he can get some proper stuff, which I'm all for. Yeah. I'm with him on the smart do. You know, you do that, then you get back in the testing pool after you recover. But it would depend on the commission if they just allow you to take, you know, these performance enhancing drugs.
If he's doing the boxing thing, I'm sure he can get around that though, right?
I would assume.
Yeah.
And I doubt Logan Paul or Tommy Fury is going to take that fight. Tommy Fury versus Darren Till would be fantastic build-up. That'd be great, especially over in London.
Yeah.
They would love that. Love that. A little British on Brit crime. Hell yeah.
All right. Almost done here. These are some highlights from one that I thought were cool. One sec.
Oh, I'll be at the May 5th fight in Denver, Colorado. The ONE Championship's flying your boy out.
Nice. That's DJ, right?
Yep.
Rematch or trilogy.
Trilogy.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is two guys getting knocked down. Just real quick. Like hard hits.
Damn. He goes, hey. Knocks him out. Hey.
Hey, he looks fine. Four, 5, 6, 7. Step forward.
Oh my God. Oh, he's a little wobby. He's a, I'm good, dude.
But it's crazy. Jeez. They both get hit God, crazy hard and they just pop back up.
Yeah, little guys, man.
And this one is Helbos from Mark Abelardo.
Oh. God, bro, he hit him so hard on that one, he fell over.
Yeah, it was freaking insane.
Jesus Christ, elbows. If Abelardo, if his nickname's not Helbos, Helbos, like Hellboy.
Yeah.
Is that it, dude?
Abelardo. There's one more. This is just Mike Perry. This happened
last week, press conference. Mike Perry wipes his nose on...
Is that a really... He said it was a... I forgot it was like his fancy brand.
That's a fancy... I mean, he's a model. It's too puffy for me. I don't, it looks awkward.
It does.
Like, are they fighting in Montana?
So he picks his nose and wipes it on. Oh, that bad.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
All right, dude. Well, you have UFC's just cranking them out. You had a great fight night coming up. One of the greatest to ever do it. Max Holloway, Arnold Allen. That fight is fantastic. This could be on a pay-per-view all day, co-main event. We're going to find out what Arnold Allen's made of, man. This is it. The undefeated Arnold Allen testing the waters against Max Holloway. And you're out of your mind if you think Max Holloway is over the hill or anything like that. Max Holloway is a fucking savage. I can't wait. Barboza, Billy. I'll take Billy all goddamn day on that fight. Dustin Jacoby's doing the damn thing. Tanner Bozer's on there. Pedro Munoz, Clay Guida. Holy, you got some throwbacks. You have Clay Guida and Ed Herdman on that card. Brandon Royval on the undercard. How dare you? That's offensive. Venata's fighting. Great card for a fight night. I'll definitely be watching it in the green room in Atlanta. It's going to be on late in Atlanta. What's that? It's a 5 p.m. here, so that's 8 p.m. Yeah. There. Yeah. So I should be able to see some of the main card by the time I get on stage. But I'll be watching the green room. Atlanta, come on out this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Punchline, Atlanta. Come shake that dirty bird, and I'll be getting my wings at Magic City. Come get you some Atlanta this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then June 2nd through the 4th is La Jolla Comedy Store. And I'm jumping all over the pond. Belfast, June 15th. Glasgow, June 17th. Manchester, June 18th. London, June 22nd. Cardiff, June 23rd. Dublin, I end in Dublin, my favorite place. Dublin, June 25th. This is a theater run. One show only in every single city that I just listed. So get your tickets now at thickboy.com. That's it, kids. Love you. Till next time. Enjoy the fights on Saturday. Thanks for liking. Please subscribe, like, watch everything. Love you guys. Be safe. I'm out.